Today's episode of Rob's Podcast is sponsored by Spin for Perfect Skin, because Spin for Perfect Skin is the skin care brush that has four unique attachments: a light cleansing brush, a deep exfoliating brush, and a body attachment and pumice stone for rough patches, which is going to give you better looking skin. I got to try it out as well as Nicole, and I'm a simple guy who doesn't need extravagant skincare regimen. So the Spin for Perfect Skin brush is great for me, extracting bacteria from skin surface and reducing pore sizes and killing bacteria to ensure that my skin stays clean. The Spin for Perfect Skin brush is shower friendly and travel friendly, and an easy thing to incorporate into your skincare regimen. The Spin for Perfect Skin brush is normally $100. With our link, it's 70% off, down to $30 with the discount. The code is automatically applied with this link. Go to vanityplanet.com/RHAP. That's vanityplanet.com/RHAP with the promo code RHAP. You can also access the Spin for Perfect Skin by clicking on the banner on the top of my show page at podcastone.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who never opts for the early checkout, whether it's the BB Can Grand or any hotel. I am Rob Sisner, here to talk about Big Brother Canada 4 and Week 4. And we have a great show for you, because we are very lucky to have one of the great friends of Rob Has a Podcast here, the amazing winner of Big Brother US 15. Here is Andy Herron. Andy, how are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Great to get you on here to talk about this. Always love to get your takes,
yeah.
Whether it's Big Brother US, Big Brother Canada, or even Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, yeah. Man, I forgot about that.
Yeah, did you know that you might have been talking about potentially the future president of the United States when we talked about...
You know what? I didn't, but man, if I knew then what I know now.
Yep. And then also with us to talk about everything that's going on in Big Brother Canada and the week in the live feeds, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm good. You know, Jordan, I know he's on my side, but I'm glad I'm here talking to you and not him.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I want to be on the podcast and not Jordan.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about after it's been another exciting week in the house. We had the three-headed monster potentially having even two of the heads cut off. Only one ends up cut off for now after the fake, quote unquote, double eviction, which is really kind of a half fake double eviction. Either Kelsey or Levita will come back into the house on Thursday, plus somebody else will go home in another 90-minute episode again. So Big Brother Canada is going to Big Brother Canada, and more craziness on the way, and we'll talk about it all here today. All right. First, Andy, how are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, no complaints. I'm liking the season a lot of Big Brother Canada. I think that it is quite good so far.
I am too. I'm really enjoying it. I think it's been very fun. I think there's a lot of intrigue going on coming out of the Joel HOH week, which I think that there were some interesting decisions along the way there, and certainly a lot of interesting decisions during the double eviction. Okay, we're going to talk about it all. Then we're going to get into talking about the spoilers, the next HOH, what's going on, what's coming up for Sunday, and whether or, you know, exactly what's going to happen in the next 6 days or so until we get to the next eviction on Big Brother Canada 4. We're going to take your questions as well. Scott St. Pierre is monitoring Twitter, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. All right, Andy, just tell me, big picture, did you like the episode, the 90-minute episode of the fake, quote-unquote, double eviction?
You know what? I did. I thought it was quite entertaining. I really, really liked how, up until the last minute, Maddie didn't really know what she was going to do after she won that second HOH. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was went by very quickly.
Yeah.
Let's just take it through one decision at a time. And why don't we start with talking through the decision to get rid of Kelsey over Raul. I was a little surprised that it ended up going that. Again, I'm not following the live feed super closely during the week, but I thought that it seemed like from the episode that there was a lot of momentum for Kelsey to stay in the house based on that it was really going to take Jared's eye off the ball. Andy, were you surprised that it was Kelsey that left?
No, not really. I feel like there were a lot of factors that went into her eviction. I feel like number one, I mean, she was partnered with Jared, and I guess there is an argument to make that, okay, if you keep her, she keeps Jared distracted, but still, I don't know how many people really bought that. But also I really do kind of agree with, what Cassandra was saying when she was saying like girls just like looked at Kelsey and like were jealous of her and didn't like her. And it's just like, if you can't get over that, or you know what I'm saying? Like if a girl gets in her mind that she doesn't like you like that, it's hard to get over. And I feel like Kelsey was kind of experiencing that with some of the girls. And then also Mitch wanted to keep Raul, and I feel like Mitch has been getting what Mitch wants. And so I was like, okay, I feel like, I don't know. I saw a lot of signs pointing to Kelsey going.
See, I don't really get Kelsey as a character that I saw that conversation and I really was left wondering, you know, is Kelsey really, you know, you saw people like Sandra say, oh, you know, you're such an awesome person. You have such a great heart. You're beautiful, but you have such a great heart. But then you have a lot of people who didn't end up liking her in the house. Taryn, what's the truth here on Kelsey? Can you help us sort this out?
I don't think she was particularly like catty or anything. I think, you know, she got into some fights with LaVita because LaVita put her up that first week and she never really was able to get off of the defensive after that. You know, she got a little power hungry in the second week, but for the most part, like there are far more like catty, you know, individuals than Kelsey. I think she's a perfectly fine, you know, woman.
Although I really did love her move of taking that duck. Like that was super catty, but just in the best way possible.
Yeah. And the scene at the end of the episode with her and LaVita, like it really did seem like LaVita was trying to make small talk. And it was just almost like, Kelsey just like was not even saying anything audible.
Well, did you hear, even when they were on stage, like I can't even like Arissa was just like, oh, like you guys are going to get a chance to like control things. And Kelsey was like, LaVita's going to love that. Like it was like, she was being so catty. I loved it.
So you like it?
I mean, it was just funny. I feel like, because I had been kind of defending her. I was like, oh man, she seems like a really genuine, like, and then like, she was so ridiculously catty when she was evicted.
Yeah.
But, I feel like she was in shock. Like, she didn't seem like she was processing a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know what I can't get out of my head when I'm looking at Kelsey, and I think that, I don't know if this is too much of a window into my brain, but I feel like that Kelsey, when I look at her, she's like a really, really attractive Muppet to me. Does anybody else, do you see that at all?
I have not thought that, but I guess maybe I'll examine her face a little bit more now and see.
Yeah. And I kind of think that Jared also looks like that. He looks like another like really attractive Muppet. And I kind of feel like that. I think that they look like they might be able to be brother and sister. Like that might be another real Project DNA twist that they might be able to pull out at the end of the season where they say like, you know how you guys are able to like finish each other's sentences and have so much in common? Well, there's a reason for that. Again, that's just what I'm seeing with Kelsey.
I'm not going to get that out of my head now.
I know.
I think I can see it.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean it in not like me who would be like a hideous Muppet, a very, very attractive Muppet.
Yeah. Attractive Muppet.
Yes. One of the most attractive, if not the most attractive Muppet. So Kelsey ends up going after, it seems like that, you know, there were some plans, at least Tim and Cassandra were talking about in terms of saving her. Taryn, what did you feel like the show wasn't able to really articulate that was going on in the house this week that led to Kelsey going home in the first eviction?
It was really Mitch. I mean, he did all the legwork. They kind of showed that, but they didn't see. It was kind of Tim and Cassandra had sort of made a push to get Kelsey out, and it was looking like, or to keep Kelsey, it was looking that like that might have actually happened. But as soon as Mitch stepped in, he got around, he flipped the brothers, he kept Dallas and Maddie and them all on the same goal, and from that point on, pretty much everything Tim and Cassandra did couldn't make a dent in what Mitch had done.
Mitch is so amazing. I'm so impressed. I don't think this is a hot take at all. I think that he's amazing. I feel super strong that he is the winner of this season. I feel like that he is Netta-esque without a John Party to potentially steal it away from him at the end of the game. Andy, are you on board the Mitch train as well?
I'm the conductor of the Mitch train, Rob. I'm so on board.
Choo choo.
I think he's fantastic. I feel like, well, and I'm glad that he's actually getting credit for it, because I think the show really isn't giving him a lot of credit, but I feel like he is weirdly online, like, getting the credit. Although I also feel like a lot of people have been tweeting at me when I say that I like him, and they'll be like, oh, well, he's like so sneaky, and like, he's going to get caught soon. And I'm like, well, girl, that's what literally everyone said about me, and it doesn't always happen. So,
like, no, he's so good. He's so good, Mitch. But maybe this might be a hot take. If the Mitch is great, is not a hot take. How about this, Taryn? What do you think of this take? Joel's not that great.
Yeah, you know, Joel was doing really well up until his HOH week, and he got really attached to Levita. It's actually probably a good thing for his game that she went, because he can hopefully separate himself from that image. But yeah, he's really taken a hit ever since that HOH week. It wouldn't surprise me if he got nominated here and there.
Andy, a couple things about Joel. That there was a moment, or, you know, or during the week where he ended up, you know, I think he got the letter from his family about his brother. Again, very emotional moment. He tells us in confessional, I'm not sure how much is this, you know, just you have to say this because, you know, you're in the diary room. But he said about how, you know, he knows he has a family that's supporting him through thick and thin outside of the house, and also inside the house. And to me, that's a very troubling line for Joel to be talking about the people in the Big Brother house, about how they're a family that is supporting him through thick and thin. Isn't that the opposite of the way that you want to be thinking in the Big Brother house?
Yes and no. Because I feel like while I was in there, really did feel like I had genuine friends that cared about me and liked me. And I mean, it was nice, but at the same time, it's like, it makes it hard when you actually have to do something against those people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I was notorious for crying when I would evict people because I really liked them. I liked most of the people. And so I feel like Joel, I hope he has it in him to be as ruthless as he needs to be to win, but I worry sometimes that he doesn't.
Something else that happened with Joel this week that I really did not like was when he was the HOH, after he made his nominations, you had the, you know, the third wheel end up being like really upset with him, and they go and they confront him, and they're all saying to him, Joel, we know this wasn't you. This was Levita. We don't hold you responsible at all for this. This was all Levita's plan, that she manipulated you.
I know where you're going.
And he had to go and set the record straight and say, no, guys, these are my nominations. It wasn't Levita. I did this to you. It wasn't, don't be mad at her, be mad, it's me. I thought that was like, he had the perfect scapegoat.
Yeah, no, for sure, I was irritated with that. I was like, Joel, for sure blame Levita. But he didn't, so what? I mean, what can we do? But I still think he's going to last a while. I don't think he's going anywhere for a while.
He's fine for a while, but I don't think, again, like, I killed Steve and Johnny Mac this summer about the same thing, so watch Joel go on and win this thing.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like people said the same thing about Steve and about, like, Ian Terry, and then look what happened, you know?
Yeah,
I do think that Steve knew how to play off when he was HOH in the double eviction. He was able to very, very expertly put the blame on Vanessa for his nominations. And I do think to some extent that, you know, Joel saying, no, these were my nominations, it kind of can work for him. Like, oh, he's trying to plead his case, but it's obvious he was, you know, manipulated by Levita. But I don't think that was his intention. I think he really wanted the credit, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I thought that was a troubling thing in terms of Joel. And again, I think it's probably ultimately a good thing for Mitch, because I don't think that Joel is ever going to, in the same way that John didn't take Netta to the final three. I feel like if there was a similar situation with the, you know, if Mitch and Joel are the new John and Netta in this season, I think that Joel certainly would take Mitch to the final two and would be afraid to, you know, not let his friend. But again, that's a much more complicated relationship than this is.
Who do you guys think is Mitch's biggest problem? Like, is it Tim?
Well, it's normally Tim, but this fake double eviction thing is a huge problem for him.
Okay.
Yeah, for Mitch?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will talk through that. Is that getting into spoilers, or do you feel like you could talk about that here?
I mean, I like from the feeds before the eviction, even then, like he was playing both sides. The fact that these two are going to be in a room together for a week no consequences for spilling their entire games, like it would be a miracle if Mitch did not get caught for what he's doing right now.
Okay, well, that's a great point. You know, we had back in Big Brother Canada 3, where we had, I think, what was it, the first 4 or 5 people out of the house, and they were basically like all living together, and they were sharing notes, and you had, you know, Neha was really telling everything, and whoever came back into the house, whether it was going to be Neha or Cindy with an S or whatever one of these first few people that were out, they all exchanged notes about what was going on. And so then you had Cindy with an S comes out and comes back into the house, and she's really like, you know, empowered and really pumped up. And it was something that really helped Sarah in terms of Big Brother Canada 3. So now, again, we have the same sort of situation where you have two people who are just going to be able to compare notes of everything that's going on. Andy, does this really bum you out that they do this on Big Brother Canada?
It kind of does. I would really hate it if a player who is playing very well, like Mitch, gets found out in a way like this. You know, I don't love the fact that these two people get to sit together and talk. And weirdly, apparently they get to watch some of the feeds too. I don't really know how that's going to work. But I mean, yet again, though, it's like with Big Brother Canada, you should kind of expect it. And so
expect the expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what is the upside here, rather than you have to build two sets if you're going to sequester them into separate places? Like, why do we necessarily, will there be so much drama that comes out of seeing Kelsey and LaVita in that room together all week, Tara? Why are we going through this trouble?
I think it's just because they pulled this twist from international versions and they didn't really tweak it much.
Mm-hmm.
The way the game is played now.
Yeah. I mean, if this does end up being a big problem for Mitch, I mean, and Mitch ends up going out of the house because of this, I mean, seriously, was this worth it? Isn't this, if you come into a Big Brother season, Big Brother Canada 5, and again, I don't know how many people from are going to be on Big Brother Canada 5 are watching this show. But if you're coming into Big Brother Canada 5, like, doesn't it make, maybe you don't want to be double dealing this early in the house because, you know, somebody in the first month is going to be locked up with somebody else in the house and they're going to be comparing notes before they come back into the game.
Although Mitch could seriously also just go to one of them. You know what I'm saying? If one of them calls him out, he could be like, well, yeah, I was telling that other person what they wanted to hear, but I'm with you, you know?
Mm-hmm. So for Mitch, who is it better for him to come back into the house? Is it LaVita, Taryn?
You know, it's hard to tell, especially without getting into the feeds. I think I would probably say LaVita just because he does kind of want to take Kelsey's place in the third wheel. And so if she comes back, that kind of ruins his positioning as well as could potentially out his position in the game. So I think LaVita is probably the better choice.
Yeah. Would you say it's fair to say, Andy, that LaVita would also be less apt to be able to act effectively on whatever actionable information she might have?
Yeah.
Is that a nice way to say that?
Yeah.
Like, I do feel like there's a thing also, like, where you come back in, like, the Cindy with an S, where it's like, you know, they come in, come back into the house, like, I'm back, bitches! And then, you know, really just come out, like guns blazing, like, take one big tart, take somebody out, like, 1 week, and then they go right back out of the house, because they come back in, like, I'm ready to play now! You think you thought you could get rid of me?
Yeah, it's a good thing we don't know anyone that happened to.
But doesn't that 100% seem like that would be LaVita? And what a run for LaVita that would be to be have disastrous HOH1, then go up on the block, and then somehow be saved, then have disastrous HOH number 2, then have a week where she was not the HOH, but people kind of blame her for what happened, then goes out in a double eviction, comes back in, and then really comes back in, you know, like Scarface, and then go right back out right after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun run, to say the least.
It was La Vida Loca. We said it all.
Yeah.
Really.
All right, well, let's talk about the Maddie HOH. And again, it was a knockout game, and I do think that the Big Brother US does a superior job with this competition, because at least they spice it up a little bit, Andy. This was a very vanilla version of this.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Well, what do you mean? How does Big Brother US spice it up?
It's the songs, it's the movies, they do something wacky of like, here's a poem of each thing. So they try to spice it up. This was just like,
I was always I was always kind of, well, I was almost simultaneously happy and sad that I did not get to do this competition in my season, because I was the outgoing HOH. Like, I was very curious to see if, because I really do think my season, I wonder if anyone would have picked me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was one of those things where, like, it really shows you your position in the house. But then when you think about it, it's like, maybe that's a bad thing, because with Mitch last night, if people start talking about it, they're going to be like, why did no one pick him?
Yeah, you know? I mean, but it was such a great sign of what he was able to do. And nobody even says his name in the knockout game up until the end. And then he actually gets one question right and then doesn't get the right question. So I felt like it was a really perfect throw. Yeah. If it was, Taryn, do you feel like that was
a
throw?
For sure, right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
Yeah, and he's talked, I mean, he hasn't talked about it recently, but he definitely talked about it the first week that the feeds were up. He talked with Joel about how he was throwing competitions, and we know that he gave it to Joel last week, so wouldn't surprise me at all if he threw this one too.
Just to go back to the HOH, where you had Joel and Mitch, who were the co-HOH, even the perfect rock, paper, scissors that was coordinated ahead of time. That was, again, you know, speaking to really the brilliance of Mitch in terms of what he's been able to do so far. So really, he's just so impressive to me.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I love him.
So then Maddie ends up being the HOH here. And so she wants to backdoor Levita. She doesn't end up putting Levita up on the block. Andy, first off, okay, if that's the move she wants to make, and we can talk about the wisdom of the move itself, but if she wants Levita to be the target, do you agree with backdooring her in the double eviction power of veto ceremony?
Yeah, I kind of do. It doesn't give her, I mean, even though she kind of picked up on it, it still doesn't really give her, I mean, even the double is happening fast anyway, but I feel like that cuts off even any chance whatsoever of her like weaseling her way out of something, you know?
Yeah. So that's better, because ultimately, you know, there's still a chance that she could end up on the block. And just because of the randomness is going to be the randomness. You say it doesn't matter. Ultimately just, cause she could get it. She could still get in. So you feel like that's the smarter way to go?
I feel like if you really do want her gone, I mean, you put up two people. Obviously, they're not going to be happy that you put them on the block, but two people that you can like talk to about it afterwards and explain to them like what you were trying to do. And then I really do like the fact that it minimizes any chance. It gives Levita a smaller chance of getting off the block, because like if she's nominated, she is definitely going to play in that veto, and if she's not nominated, there's only a 1 in 6 chance that she'll get to play. So.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't there a possibility that like Dallas could have won the veto, even though he's already won two vetoes, if he gets into that game? I mean, is it just dangerous no matter what you do? So
I still feel like one of her targets still would have, like, you know, it wasn't as big of a target as Levita, but someone still would have gone home. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like she was going to lose an ally or something.
Yeah. Taryn, what was your take on the way that Maddie approached this?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to grade somebody like Maddie, because I don't think she's thinking in a really like rationally strategic way.
Yeah.
Taking out Levita was, they had made an alliance together that week. And Levita had talked about like, actually, I don't know if I want Maddie in our alliance, but still, they did have like the linking, alliance members like Ramsey and Dallas, who like, there's no way that Levita would have gone after Maddie anytime soon.
So yeah. What was the lie? Maddie said she lied to her twice. There were two lies that she told.
Yeah, I mean, Levita did that a lot to be like, I honestly don't know exactly what she's referring to. I'm guessing it would be when she was HOH and she nominated Cassandra and Christine instead of Jared and Kelsey or whatever. And I don't know what else. I mean, they never really got along that well. So it, you know, Maddie doesn't really get along with anybody very well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, why did she need to break up with Nick all of a sudden?
I mean, she has a boyfriend. So that probably was one of the reasons. It's been very like, she talks about him constantly. Like, yeah, I'm not really into him. I'm just playing him.
Nick or her boyfriend?
Nick.
Okay.
And she didn't want to be too associated with him. And she was just like, yeah, I just need some space. But then that night, like they were cuddling again, and like, she's all over the place. It's hard for me to analyze
Yeah.
Andy, wasn't that so awkward when she had to go to Phil to say, like, hey, could you just tell your brother that I need space from him and I don't want to tell him, so can you just tell him when I'm not around?
Yeah, the whole situation was awkward. The fact that she even brought it up was weird, and then the fact that he pulled his brother over, just the whole thing made me want to rip all my skin off. I did not like it.
And then it seemed like that she was like being flirty with Phil in front of Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's a mess, for sure. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, and then she promised after that, she promised to cuddle with Ramsey that night, or it was either that night or the night after, and then she cuddled with Nick, and it was like what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, just going back to what is Maddie doing, so then she puts up somebody that her alliance did not want her to put up, and you saw Dallas, like, visibly upset and annoyed about this nomination and who's ultimately going to go home. And so that Taryn, how bad is this for Maddie to have done, you know, basically gone rogue here?
It's pretty bad. I mean, at this point, it's practically a Big Brother Canada tradition, right? We saw this with Brittany last season where, you know, she takes out Willow, who was in basically in her alliance with Sarah. And with this one, you know, we saw, like, Ramsey was visibly upset in the voting booth, in the tire room voting booth. And Dallas was very, very angry with this. Like, this totally ruins Dallas's game. It totally messes their entire alliance up. And, like, how are they supposed to trust Maddie? You know, like, what use is she if she's going to nominate the people in their own alliance?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are still tons of people in the house that really hate Maddie that she left in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a wild season, Andy. I mean, do you think that this is really the right recipe for Big Brother Canada or Big Brother US, where you have just like just only a couple people who really know what they're doing, and then everybody else just be like really like loose cannons?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's every season, basically. I mean, I was talking, I can't even remember who, it was one of the casting people, and I was like, honestly, I feel like you cast like 5 to 6 people who can win, and then you throw in like 10 who you know are never going to win. And they were like, yeah, duh, that's exactly how it works.
Right. But I do feel like that in a normal season of Big Brother, I think that you'd have like, you know, a bunch of only a couple people who could win, but then a lot of people who are like, I don't want to make a move here because I'm sort of like, but it's almost like that. Yeah. This is a season where you have only a couple people that can win, but then a lot of people who are like chomping at the bit to make a move,
yeah,
to do something. And then, but it's all bad ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the best formula is, you know, have the people on the extremes, like the really good players and then the really terrible players that are going to totally screw up the good players' plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to end up seeing potentially where you could have even Levita ending up coming back. I also think that this was good. I think that we have a lot of people who were probably like the more quiet people in the house, the people who weren't necessarily making a lot of noise. Those were the first three boots of this season. So I think that we've done well in terms of keeping the real casting gold so far on the show.
Who do we think actually has potential to win? I mean, obviously Mitch. I think Joel does.
He has that possibility, but I'm not feeling great about him. Okay, but outside of those two, who else, Andy?
I don't know. I'm like thinking about it, and Tim.
I think Tim has winner upside.
Yeah.
This has been the season where, you know, we haven't talked about this yet. 5 women in a row have been evicted. Who is the most likely woman to be able to win this thing?
That's left. Who's still left? Cassandra, Maddie,
and Nikki.
And Nikki. Okay.
I want to know this. I wrote this in my notes. Will Nikki be the last woman standing in this house, Andy?
I think she easily could be. I think Maddie is for sure the most in danger. And I think Cassandra is just a little bit too volatile. She says the wrong things sometimes, even though I really like Cassandra.
She's very fun on the TV show.
Yeah. She rubs people the wrong way. And so that's not good. So Nikki, I mean, I feel like people just view Nikki as so outrageous that they don't view her as a threat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Nikki is the kind of like the Peely of this season, where it took very particular circumstances for Peely to go out, and even then it was pretty late in the game. There's no reason for anybody to take Nikki out at this point.
Yeah, I think she, you know, pencil her in for the final four for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's definitely there. If you were going to bet on one of these other women that are left in the house to go far, I don't know who it would be.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki's going to go far, and then I could see Cassandra maybe going far if the cards break right for her.
Cassandra and Tim are pretty close, right? I feel like he could be for around for a while, yeah.
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 Can we talk about the jealous Jared storyline? That was something that I didn't really see coming up this week. Taryn, what was your take on the jealous Jared storyline where, you know, he's a Sagittarius and he's very, he gets very jealous about Kelsey.
Jealous Jared. Yeah, he has been jealous on the feeds. It was very concentrated, that edit, though. Like, it really, they really made it out to be like, yeah, Jared's jealous. And so now he wants Kelsey to go home. Which I don't think was really the case, but I guess was pretty compelling to watch. I think he was okay with her leaving because he knew it was good for his game, not because he was jealous. But yeah, he has been jealous since the beginning of the game, the amount she flirts with Phil in particular.
Yeah, but it's so interesting that it was Phil that he was jealous of, but then also then if she wasn't around, then him and Phil were going to be best friends. It seemed like that was sort of like the logic.
Yeah, it's like I've had that sort of the Penner and... the baseball player, I can't remember his name
right
now.
Jeff Kent?
Yeah, they've had that sort of relationship where it's like, they're so like scared of each other, like who's going to strike first kind of thing. So they constantly are trying to make peace, but very skeptical of one another. So that's sort of been their relationship.
Andy, what's your take on the jealous Jared storyline? And if Kelsey comes back into the house, how much could this screw with jealous Jared?
I mean, I didn't really buy it that much. I was like, there's no way he's going to evict her. Although I just find Jared kind of boring. So I feel like I didn't really care. I feel like I was kind of glossing over at that part of the show.
Well, I just love that he branded himself, I guess. Yeah. I guess I'm just jealous Jared. But yeah. It seems like that this is like something he knew of. It seemed like a very self-aware thing. It was like, yeah.
But he's also someone who annoys me because he's one of those people that always is like, I'm not going to sacrifice my morals and like my dignity for this. And I'm like, well, why are you on the show then? Like, you know what you're getting into, you know?
Yes.
Those are the types of people that I never want to root for. The ones that are like, I won't lie, or you know what I'm saying? Or like, I'm like, my relationships with the people in this house mean more to me than the money. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Well, Andy, could you identify at all with Raul in the third wheel with your relationship with Amanda and McRae?
Yeah, but I think that my relationship with Amanda and McRae was more strategic. I mean, obviously it worked because I liked him. I genuinely liked Amanda and McRae. But I think that like I really did know in my head that they were like my shield. And the thing is, I feel like Raul doesn't really have that mindset. I think he's just like, he's like, I like Kelsey. I'm going to hang out with her. I guess I'll be in an alliance with her. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as a result, like you're seeing Raul on the block, whereas like I never was going to be on the block, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like Emmett.
Yeah.
Except the first night.
I think Mitch saw Raul's position and was like that. Like,
yeah,
I want to be that. So he could be the Andy of that situation.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, Amanda and McRae were the greatest meat shield ever for 2/3 of my game. You know, it was perfect.
Yeah. Now, just going back to Mitch for a second here. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, that Mitch is literally wearing one of Netta's shirts in the house, correct?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And nobody is putting the two and two together of like, oh, wait, he is the Netta of this season.
Yeah.
Nobody's done that yet?
No.
See, it's really ballsy of him. It really, yeah, really is.
I'm telling you, like, I genuinely kind of think that you rarely see, like, well-adjusted, like, smart gay guys on these shows because, like, I think every time they're going to do well. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you get Raul's who, like, are going to be entertaining, but they're never going to win. They're going to go out, like, earlier in the middle. Whereas if you put in, like, a Mitch who is someone who is gay and, like, gets it, it's just like, I think he's a huge threat. And I feel like you rarely see it because I think every time that guy is going to do really well.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I'm going to put that into my, winner picking strategy.
It's like a Todd from Survivor. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he falls into that camp too. He was like so well adjusted and normal and smart. And like everyone, I feel like everyone likes that person and wants to keep them around. But then there's more to them than that. You know what I'm saying? Like they're thinking the whole time and actually strategizing. And I think that they're like very threatening.
Hey, Gary was one key away from winning. Like, we might have to open up the criteria for Big Brother Canada.
Yeah. Although if Gary had won, it would have been a travesty. Like, come on, let's be real. Gary should never have won over Jillian. And Peter and Alec make me so irritated when they say that he should have.
we all know that the Big Brother God stepped in and prevented that travesty.
Seriously,
from
it would have been a travesty.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Tim and what he's doing. Andy, what's been your take on Tim? Do you feel like that he's been entertaining, but do you feel like his antics are going to catch up to him eventually?
Oh my God. I think Tim is super entertaining to watch. If I was in the house with Tim, I would want him out so bad. I feel like he would make me so nervous. Like, just the fact that, like, you don't really know. You can tell that he's a thinker and that he's smart, but you don't really know what he's going to do. I would want him out so bad.
That's what Emmett was saying on the sideshow. He was really like, 100% that guy has to go. He's the biggest, he's the most dangerous person in the house.
He would make me nervous. I feel like I get, like, Judd vibes from him, and Judd made me incredibly nervous, you know?
Why? Because Judd was such a jokester?
Well, just like, Judd was a jokester, but you can tell that Judd, like, and I think that we definitely did give Judd more credit than he should have gotten. I think that Judd was not the, like, master schemer that we thought he was. But still, like, everyone liked him. He was a jokester, and he was unpredictable. You never really knew kind of what he was going to do or how he was going to feel, and it made me really nervous.
Yeah. Taryn, what's been your take on everything with Tim before we get into the double eviction? Why it did seem like he was pushing really hard on the Kelsey thing. Is it ultimately because that he just read the votes and he knew he didn't have them? That's why he backed down?
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, he doesn't really care which way he votes. I've compared him before. I think the closest analog to Tim is Dr. Will. They play that I don't care about this game strategy. Tim was talking about putting himself up on the block as a pawn. You know, who else did that? Dr. Will. And Jordan Parhar, but still.
You win some, you lose some. Right.
Right. And he's seen as outside of the game. Nobody, like, it's hard to picture him as another player because he does all of these crazy things that nobody expects him to do. And that sort of, it takes away the target, you know, it makes people think, you know, I have all these other people who are doing the same thing I am. They're more dangerous to me than this guy who's like out in La La Land.
Yeah.
And the one person who kind of sees through it is Mitch. And the one of the people who sees Mitch the most is Tim. And they've kind of been fighting this cold war for the past couple of weeks where they keep taking like very subtle swipes at each other through other people trying to degrade the trust that they have. And it's been really interesting to watch. And I hope that it continues forward.
Okay. One other thing that I want to just talk about quickly. I really did like the veto competition from the proper week. Not so much the one from the double eviction. I felt like it was getting a little boring. And I really felt like Rissa needs to be doing a little bit more narrating of what's going on there. We're sort of just like watching nothing happening or nobody talking for a couple minutes on the screen. But in terms of the veto competition from the week, I did like the poker game. But what the hell is Jared thinking to not use the wild card here? He's like, oh, can't play HOH next week. All right, can't use the wild card punishment here. I mean, Andy, what is that?
I was dumbfounded by that. Like, I could not believe it.
Like, it's not like you could, for a month. It was 1 week you couldn't be the HOH.
It would have been so perfect. I mean, then he literally ensures that his entire alliance is safe, you know? Yeah.
And he wouldn't have won anyway, but Taryn, did that bum you out?
Oh, no, he would have won.
He would have won.
Oh, he would have won?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he had a full house, right? And then he got
the... he had 4 sevens and wrote...
He would have had 4 sevens. Yeah.
Jealous Jared. Come on, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. I think part of it was, you know, he recognized that Kelsey leaving would probably benefit his game. And so that combined with, I also will get to play HOH next week. I'm not going to, you know, go out of my way to save her when her leaving could actually benefit me.
And Andy, what kind of crap alleged punishment is 24 hours as the human cactus?
That was, who cares? It was not, I mean, whatever.
24 hours?
Yeah, that's nothing.
And I thought it was a good look too, right? Like,
yeah, it was fun.
Andy, what's your take on Dallas?
I don't like Dallas.
Well, nobody likes Dallas.
Dallas is annoying. I don't know. I mean, I don't care. Like, I don't really know what else to say.
Taryn, did he shout out his girlfriend that broke up with him?
Yeah,
that
happened. Of course he did.
Why does he call Arissa the Rocket?
Because he's annoying. I don't know. Like,
okay, let's get into some questions, then we'll talk the live feeds. Okay, a couple of questions that aren't live feed dependent. Bliss 44, who backdoors their alliance member, whether they like them or not?
Brittany.
Yeah, look, it's a thing that happens on Big Brother camp.
No, but I mean, I don't totally fault her for that. I feel like Levito and her did have weird energy between the two of them. I like don't think it was that terrible of a move.
Yeah, like I said, Levito had said, like, actually, I don't know if I want Maddie in our alliance. So she wasn't really like in her alliance, but I don't think Levito would have put her up anytime.
Well, and like, and I feel like when someone weirds you out like that, I do understand getting rid of them. Like, yet again, going back to Judd, me and Amanda and McCray and Judd were like the tightest alliance my season for the first half of the season. And then Judd started acting weird and we took him out in a double. Like, we did exactly that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think getting rid of Levita wasn't like her worst move. I think her worst move was not having her alliance on board with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they need to be on board. If
yeah,
you're gonna
I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Crystal R says, is Maddie the worst HOH in Big Brother Canada history? She targeted an ally who wasn't after her, kept an enemy who will 100% go after her side, and lost a number for her side. By the way, Andy is my favorite best rat floater ever. How about that, Andy?
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Can't imagine that she's the worst HOH in Big Brother Canada history.
No, I mean, like, I'm even just thinking of, like, Zach's last season when he got rid of his yeah. number one ally. That's terrible.
At least she yeah. got rid of somebody that was kind of maybe, yeah. you know, not really on her page, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were multiple HOHs from last season that I think...
That were just shit. They were awful, yeah.
All right, Mike Bloom, the great Mike Bloom says, looking at how that 90-minute episode was paced, should the U.S. format do that for double evictions? Boy, I think that you really do upset the apple cart here with the CBS lineup with doing that. That CBS typically follows Big Brother, unless, you know, I know they used to have like a blocks of like Big Bang Theory and then like another half hour comedy and then Big Brother Thursdays at 9. I think they have a lot of like hour long dramas that follow Big Brother. So I think that 90 minute for the eviction show is too much, Andy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's hard because this one, they got to edit it. Like, it doesn't air live, right? I mean, Big Brother USA airs live. And so it's hard for, I mean, I think it would be boring if Big Brother USA did a 90-minute double eviction. It would just be a bunch of people, like, yelling at each other, and you wouldn't really understand what was going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, if mm-hmm. anything, the episode after a double should be longer so they can, like, describe to everyone what accurately happened.
Yeah. I think it's fine. We like the yeah. double eviction. In Big Brother US, if there's anything we need to be fixing, it's not the double evictions.
Yeah, I agree.
those are very good. Okay, this is from Alec H, who says, how long do you think it will be before all the women are evicted?
I think a while. I think Nikki's going to stick around for a while. Yeah, and probably Cassandra.
Yeah, I think that we'll get to the point where even if a couple more women go, first off, one of these women is coming back in, so it's not it's not as bad as it seems right now. And then I think that they'll be like, you know, we'll get down to the final six and there'll be like two women there out of the six or something like that. Yeah. These things tend to correct themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that also, I want to say maybe it was Survivor San Juan del Sur was like this, where we saw a lot of women go out early and then it was like, oh, there's only like four women left in the game. And then they all like end up like four out of the final five are all women. And then it's like everybody going on the jury for a while. So there'll be a run where, you know, like six guys will go out in a row. So these things will correct themselves by the end. I'll be very surprised if it's like five bros in the final five.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take another question here. This is from Devin Grove. All right, let's be real here. Can we talk about how Dallas is basically a badass? Two POVs, constantly the voice of reason on his side, completely loyal, and the only reason he hasn't made a big move is because the people in power refuse to. All right, Andy, what do you say to that?
Constantly the voice of reason? What? Like, am I missing something?
He's basically a badass.
He was somewhat the voice of reason during the double eviction. Like, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if you watch the feeds at all. I feel like he has the tendency to like be pouty and like he can like be like bitchy and dramatic. And like, yeah, I don't think that he is constantly the voice of reason.
Andy, what about when he said to Jared this week? He's like, hey, just so you know, like, I'm coming for you. You're coming for me. Let's just say
Dallas is playing very wildly and flamboyantly. Like, and like, I mean, in a way, like, he's playing very showy. But as a result, he's not going to last very long, I don't think.
It was like such a weird move. First off, I feel like that's like the worst thing you could do in Big Brother is just like publicly out, like, just so you know, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
You're with me or you're against me.
Yeah. And then he did the move. Like, then there was like nothing else to say and it was really awkward. And then he just had to like walk out of the room, but nobody really like followed him. It was sort of like the Jerry Maguire, like, who's coming with me? Oh, okay. I'm just going to leave by myself now and go sit in another room while you guys all talk about me now.
Oh yeah. You never tell anyone you're going after them. Big Brother 101.
Oh, well, he's still there, and so is Jealous Jared. So we'll see. All right, Edward Morris, who has a better chance to succeed if they come back? Okay, Taryn, do we know the mechanics of how either Kelsey or LaVita is going to come back? Is it going to be a competition? It doesn't seem like it's going to be a vote.
We don't know yet. I did see before the fake double eviction happened, when we were still kind of getting the details of, or getting hints about what it would be, there was like a question saying, you know, who would you want back of the two that leave, which kind of insinuates that it might be a vote. But they didn't say anything. I feel like if it was, we would have been voting by now. So I'm not sure. You know, it could be a competition, I guess. I guess that's something they haven't done yet. So they might be like, well,
didn't they do
that
last season?
They did do it, yeah.
That's how Cindy got back in?
It was a comp.
Yeah, it was like hanging on.
Yeah, right. Something that they speculated was maybe they'll come back in the game as one player.
Really? Like we're gonna have four people as two players?
No, I don't think that'll happen.
That's it's just speculation because you know we don't have anything else to go
on. I mean, how many people are gonna be on this show? We're gonna go into the finale with like 15 people. I mean from night one. Oh, what? I mean, we've lost three people and added two since this show has started.
Like
we started the season, what, with 14 people, and we have basically 13 people still in play in the contention.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, in terms of if there was a vote between LaVita and Kelsey, Andy, how do you sense Canada would vote?
I think LaVita would get it, right?
I think so.
She's been the underdog. But you have, you know, she is that Kelsey is, you know, the girlfriend of Jealous Jared, potentially.
But I feel like that's the reason why people wouldn't vote Kelsey back. And I don't think people want Kelsey, Jared, and Raul back together.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I think the way they went out with, like, Kelsey, the way that she was kind of shell-shocked, it seemed like she wasn't really excited about the opportunity.
What about the duck factor?
I do think the duck factor might help Kelsey a little bit, but I don't know if it's enough.
Like, is LaVita seen as somebody who, we always talk about the underdog and the lovable underdog and the person you root for, but do you think that LaVita has that, Taryn?
I do. If you go on, there is a very, very vocal LaVita fan base online. They're big fans of her.
All right, I want to hear from the vocal LaVita fan base in the chat tonight.
Well, I don't know if they're in the RHAP audience, not, okay. But
casuals.
Yeah, it's, you know, people like underdogs, and they especially like underdogs that are a little bit crazy because that's entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Slay, LaVita, slay.
Oh, yeah, right.
Exactly. Taryn, could you talk about Maddie's duck? What does Maddie do with this duck? Was it her possession that she brought into the house, or she just found it in the Big Brother house and she likes it?
I'm pretty sure it was just there, and she, you know, it, like, she hates everything and everyone in the house except for the duck. So Kelsey took the one thing she loved, I guess.
Which is so awesome.
Okay. Let's do another question and we'll get to live feeds. Sasha PC, what if Joel was worried that he'd become a bigger target by people thinking LaVita was controlling him? Because then they might have been seen as a tight alliance where LaVita makes all of Joel's decisions. Andy, does that change anything for you?
I don't know. I mean, I still think that he's just so well-liked and it's so early that he's not a target. Like, I think even if people would have seen him doing that, I don't think they would have cared as much.
Right. I mean, my instinct says that, you know, if somebody is saying to me, Rob, I'm not mad at you. It's that other person, right? The other person tells you, like, yes, that's totally what's going on. I feel like that I can't see that being the smart game move to deny that it wasn't like, okay, it's like, well, it was her. She suggested it. I mean, I had the final say, but, you know, put some blame on LaVita.
Yeah.
Why not? Okay. All right. So let's get into talking about the spoilers, of course, that we're going to have the Big Brother Happy Hour back on Sunday night to talk about what's coming up. I mean, we'll get some more details then. Be sure to check that out on robiswebsite.com or on Reality TV Rehap Ups by subscribing to Reality TV Rehap Ups. All right. Let's talk spoilers. Here we go. Spoiler alert time.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Spoiler. All right. So let's talk about what's going on. Okay. We left the double eviction last night. We needed a new HOH. So Taryn, who is the new reigning HOH in the BB Can Grand?
Kim is the new HOH.
Okay. All right. Should be a fun week.
Should be.
All right. So what does a Tim HOH week look like so far?
Well, you know, unlike we've ever seen, that's what it looks like.
How so?
So basically, and Tim has kind of been talking about this, you know, up until this point, but we never knew if he was actually going to go through with it. But he's basically trying to turn it into Big Brother Australia. And he held a house meeting. He dressed up in a suit so everyone would know it was serious. And he said, "Hey, guys, we're going to do nominations like they do it in Big Brother Australia. I'm going to give you nomination points. You're going to come up to me one by one, and you're going to spend your nomination points, five each, on two players. And the two people with the most nomination points will be nominated."
Mm-hmm.
And so they went up one by one. They spent their points. And if you've refused, the 5 points went on you. And you also had to give a reason for why you were nominating the two people. Otherwise, the nomination points would go on you.
And do you just play this all out in front of Tim, or is there an audience also there with him?
Just Tim. He brought them up into the HOH room, one by one.
And does anybody resent that they have to go through this circus for him?
Yes, a few of them did resent it. Dallas in particular was very unhappy with the situation. He tried to say, "Let's all just agree to not go through with this." And like you said with the Jerry Maguire situation, it was kind of like crickets.
Yeah, nobody's going with Dallas. Okay. Yeah. Andy, don't you think that this is a little too cute?
I don't know. I kind of like it. I don't hate it. I'm intrigued to see it play out on the actual show on Sunday.
Yeah. So you don't think this is going to be like shades of like Derek with the Skittles and then people are going to be like really annoyed about
it? I feel like this is a lot more strategic than those damn Skittles. Like that. Don't even get me started on that. But no, I like this. I'm not hating this at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. So what did the gummy bears end up telling Tim?
Well, they were koala gummy bears.
Oh, sorry, let's, koala let's gummy bears.
Specific. And so basically, Dallas, he went around and told everyone to nominate him. And he went up there and refused to nominate himself. So he got 5 points on himself there. He overwhelmingly had the most nomination points toward him. And the rest of the house kind of coordinated. They all kind of decided, you know, it's basically gonna be Dallas and Ramsey or Maddie. Like those three got the most points. Ultimately, it ends up with Dallas and Ramsey getting the most points. So Tim is saying that's locked in. Those are going to be the nominations. But we never know with Tim. He could throw a fast one and just nominate two other people.
Andy, do you have any feeling whatsoever on Ramsey? Hasn't he been the most invisible character in this entire season?
Yeah, he's cute, but and he seems nice enough. He seems like very loyal and trusting, but I don't really have much of a feel for him other than that.
Taryn, does he do anything on the live feeds that you might be able to tell us about, though? Because we're not seeing anything on the TV show.
Yeah, you know, basically, I think he has the potential to do really well in this game. He went in here not knowing enough about the game to do well. He really blew up his spot in the first week. He made too many final two deals. A lot of people didn't trust him after that. He's been slowly building back credibility. He's kind of made connections with the middle. They kind of want to pull him in. So he should be safe as long as he's up against Dallas or somebody that, you know, that the middle wants to go. This is probably the most in danger he'll be in a while. I think if he survives this week, he can blend in. I think he's somebody to watch out for toward the end of the game.
You mentioned the middle. The mighty middle was such a big deal on this show a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Is the mighty middle still a thing, Taryn?
It's holding on. It's holding on with a tiny little hair because Mitch is kind of transitioning into that third wheel spot. Joel is kind of transitioning toward Dallas's side, and Cassandra, Tim, and the brothers are kind of the only people left in the true middle. And I think I was just seeing while we were talking that they're kind of saying, look, if we want to solidify something in the middle, it has to be now, because if it's not now, it's probably going to be never. So yeah, just barely holding on.
Andy, just in terms of Big Brother theory, though, you have to like this idea of the mighty middle, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I feel like if the middle bands together, it's something that you don't see happen that often. You know, I mean, I feel like the middle a lot of the time are people that just kind of get picked off in the middle, like no pun intended, in the middle of the game. And I think it would be actually kind of neat if they all banded together.
Yeah. I mean, how many people ideally would you want to have in some sort of mighty middle situation? Because that, as we're, you know, Tyron is talking about, you have people breaking off and going and, you know, starting their own sort of, you know, third group and fourth groups in the house. So, well, I mean, how many people would you need to have sticking together to actually be that sort of mighty middle?
Four or five.
So you need and. Would you say, is that what the exterminators ultimately turned out to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, kind of. I feel like it for sure was. Well, it was like, all I knew that I didn't want to go with Amanda and McCray anymore. And so I feel like I was like, oh, these people are like desperate and don't have anyone. It's like, why shouldn't we all just work together? You know, we have the same common goal in mind now.
Mm-hmm. So to that end, Taryn, so would taking somebody out from the Dallas Ramsey side of the house, would that ensure that the middle is stronger?
It would, but I think the difference between the exterminators and this middle is that the exterminators was kind of like Andy rounding up his sheep to some extent, and this middle is kind of like all the wolves together in one in one alliance.
Very interesting.
And so they really can't trust each other. Yeah.
So, I mean, so at some point, do you think that the middle will then collapse in on itself when eventually you think that Mitch and Tim will go after each other, Taryn?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with the, so we can talk about the fake double soon, but I think that Mitch is going to get his spot blown up pretty soon. Tim, after this, is probably going to be a little bit more of a target. You know, people are starting to get a little annoyed with this. And Joel is again, Cassandra was noticing that Joel is gravitating toward Dallas. She's not sure she really trusts him anymore. So they're all kind of drifting apart. And I think that soon we're going to see a reformation of the house.
What happens? Where are the brothers in all of this? Like, are they good for a while? I feel like no one really talks about taking them out.
They're always like on the list. Like, it's always like, should we nominate the brothers?
But then they don't.
We could, but nah, probably not. And that's basically how it goes. They're doing pretty well. Like they probably have a good relationship with Mitch. They have a good relationship with Ramsey, which is kind of on the down low, which is very good for them. They have good relationships with everybody, really, except for Maddie, I guess.
Yeah. Andy, do you think that they will split up the brothers at some point?
Yes.
So isn't that a huge threat? Isn't this basically the same thing as the Liz and Julia twist, where it's like once they realize that Liz is a twin, how do you let the other twin come into the game?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I feel like anyone who's not working with them should want to get rid of them. But the people that are working with them, like, there's a good reason to keep them. You know, if they split them, then you've got two people on your side instead of just one.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of keeping them. You have to get rid of them at the precise moment before they're able to get too much power and ride it all the way to the end. You know,
Tara, should we be commending the brothers for the job they've done to be able to sort of ride out this storm of from that first night of being exposed into a point where they're rarely in danger?
You know, I do think Phil in particular is doing pretty well, but there is something interesting that happened this past week where basically there was a lot of controversy because Dallas and Nikki were talking about like the brothers are going to get split up, the brothers are going to get split up. And so production sat them down and said, listen, guys, the brothers are not going to get split up.
Okay.
Like explicitly told the house that this is not going to happen. Oh, so now they're all pretty confident that it's not going to happen.
Okay. Honestly. Anything else before we get back into the questions, Taryn?
I should mention that the feeds have been on Levita and Kelsey. And pretty much right away, they were talking about, so Mitch totally played both of us. Like, wow, he is a mastermind. Look at him on the feeds. He's everywhere.
Oh!
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like the ideal reaction you want out of somebody when they're in the jury, where they immediately recognize that they got played and they still really love Mitch and they would gladly vote for him. But they're now like, we can't trust him. And going back into the game, they've talked about like, we need to probably get Mitch out. They've also talked about, well, maybe we need to try to talk to him and use him and like say, we know what you're up to. And then try to use him in that way. But at the same time, they're saying, well, maybe we don't. Maybe we should keep in the players like Maddie and take out the players like Mitch. So I think it's going to go back and forth and we're not going to really know just how badly screwed Mitch is until we see what happens.
Yeah, boy. This is why we can't have nice things on Big Brother Canada.
Yeah.
Going to keep doing dumb stuff like this. Okay. All right, let's keep going. Let's get back to the questions. This is from the 604 Macho Man Proper. Whose game this year closely resembles that of a rat floater? Andy, Mitch. Is it Mitch? It has to be Mitch.
Mitch.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, and it's not close.
No. Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah, I feel like it like freaks me out almost how eerily similar like he's been playing to when how like the way that I played.
Yeah.
And even to the point where like no one was picking him, I feel like if he were to like it, I always think of like my HOH when I had to pick have nots and everyone was just like, we'll volunteer. Like I bet for sure that would happen for him, you know?
Yeah. He's good. He's been very good. Okay, this is from Shannon, who says, which brother do you think is playing the best game, Nick or Phil? Taryn, you think it's Phil, right?
Yeah, Phil's not doing, or Nick's not doing anything because Phil's telling him not to do anything. So it's you can't really compare them.
Yeah. Have you had any thoughts about the brothers, Andy?
I like the brothers. I think they're both cute. And I feel like it's making it sound like I'm basing my merit off of who I think is cute, which is not the case. But no, I think that I like their relationship.
Who's the cuter brother?
I think Nick is the cuter brother.
Nick?
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Taryn, you say Phil.
Yeah, I think Phil.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they're both quite handsome, though.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. This is from Edward Morris, who wants to know, if Levita comes back, is there any possibility besides her either winning HOH or getting evicted? What are those the only two outcomes, Taryn, that possibly happen this next week?
No, because she still has some allies. Like if Joel or Dallas or Ramsey, granted Dallas or Ramsey, one of them probably isn't going to be there. But if one of those say, if one of them win HOH, then I think she'll be safe.
Yeah.
And there might be some, you know, enemy shooting back and forth. She may be able to skate under the radar, but it depends on how she goes back in. Like you said, if she goes in like Cindy and like just strikes at Mitch and gets Mitch out, then she'll probably, you know, go the next week.
Yeah, I think Kelsey could do better if she gets back into the house. I feel like LaVita is going to come back in, especially if she's armed with like information from Kelsey. I just think that she's not going to be able to handle it. I think she's going to come back playing like super aggressively, Andy.
Yeah, I do agree that Kelsey, I think, has a better long game potential for sure.
Think so. Okay. Let's do get Aunt Mora on here. In Australia, the HOH is giving more points to the other house guests. So we don't know if he'll add his 25 points in order to change it to obvious. Boy, we're really getting into the weeds here of the Big Brother Australia rules, Taryn. Has Tim told people that the HOH gets 25 points?
No, I don't know if he plans on using those points. He has hinted that whoever wins the veto may get to name the replacement nominee. So he's basically turning the veto into a diamond power.
Andy, if you were in Tim's position, couldn't you just make up any sort of rule you want? It's sort of like,
for sure.
Yeah. It's like,
well, this is like a primary example of why I would want Tim out. Like, I feel like this would just, his HOH week would make me just so nervous while I was in there and I would not like it.
Yeah.
He did admit to Cassandra that, the whole like explain your reasoning for nomination thing was basically to see who could think on their feet strategically, you know, quick enough. This is definitely, you know, pre-planned to get, you know, this whole thing set up.
Yeah, I saw a Star Trek episode like this one time where Kirk and Spock went to a planet and then they were telling a bunch of gangsters that they were playing a card game. They're like, oh yeah, and then eights were this and this is this. They're just making it up as they went along. I think that's what Tim's doing here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Raisa, who says, is Tim doing the nominations this way going to hurt him in the long run? Why didn't somebody go after Mitch or someone who he thinks is a threat? Taryn, has Mitch's name come up possibly as a target for Tim this week?
Yeah, actually, Tim told Cassandra before he did this nomination point thing, if it were up to me, I'd nominate Mitch and Joel because they're the two people that nobody's really looking at right now.
Oh.
But apparently it's not up to him because he's letting it up to the house. I don't know if he really would have done that or if he was just saying that because he knew he wouldn't have to. But, you know, like we said, Tim and Mitch are kind of the two people who recognize what the other is doing. And at one point, you know, unless Mitch gets taken down by this twist, it's going to come to some sort of battle.
Okay. Couple more questions here. This is one from Matthew who says, do any of you guys know the specifics regarding Tim and Nikki in terms of the contracts they had to sign before entering the house? Are they being paid? If so, how much? Do we know, Andy? What's your knowledge of the Tim and Nikki contract situation?
Zero, Rob. I have no idea.
We do know that Nikki had, you know, some specific stuff in her contract about the food that she's getting, stuff like that. And that's why she complains so much if she doesn't get it. I don't know much about Tim or how much they get paid though.
Yeah. Okay. I would think that do they have a lot of other stuff going on? If you're like an international Big Brother player, like what are you doing if you're not playing like the other seasons of Big Brother?
You guys might've already talked about this at some point during the season, but don't you feel like the producers wanted those two? Like they put them up against two people who they were clearly going to beat.
Well, see that, you know, we came into this and we were like, okay, well, Jace is going to get into the house, but Jordan on our preview show said like, Jace is a patsy, that this is what they want. They got what they wanted. So you are agreeing to that Jace was never getting in this house.
Jace was never going to get in. No, Jace played 25 years ago and was out pre-jury both times. Like, no way.
Now that we know how the house broke down, though, Taryn, in this alternate history where Jace got in the house, where do you think that Jace fits into this house right now?
I think he was backdoored last week.
Yeah, exactly. Jace
double eviction.
Yeah.
He made a final two with LaVita. Crystal R says, who would Andy rather have as an All-Stars Alliance member, Evil Dick or Reagan? I'm sure this keeps Andy late at night. Who would he make an alliance with?
Evil Dick, I think, is like almost just comically terrible. And so I would probably go with Evil Dick because I like actually hate Reagan.
Yeah.
And so I would say Dick for sure. Right. I would want to be in the house with over Reagan.
Right. And Evil Dick would be there.
Yeah.
Also, Mike Bloom says, where's our Becky update? Do you have a Becky update for Big Brother Canada?
I guess all I can really say is I met Becky like a month and a half ago in New York and she was a delight. I loved her.
Okay. You loved it. You went to the All-Star Survivor Big Brother reunion show?
I did.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun. I feel like I got to meet a lot of my like favorite Survivor contestants that I've liked for a very long time, which was exciting. I got to meet a lot of the new Big Brother alums, which was fun. And I liked everybody, although I think maybe my fave was Kelly Wentworth.
Wow.
I'm a big Kelly Wentworth fan, yeah.
Sneaky yourself.
I really liked her, yeah.
Okay. I think that is the last question we have. Okay. So let's just, real quick in our preview for the week, Taryn, do you have a bold prediction you want to go on the record for going into week 5?
I think it's the vast majority of all possibilities are leading toward, a Dallas eviction. The craziest thing would be if Tim just went off the reservation and didn't do what the house wanted. Or if Dallas wins and replaces himself with Jared and then the house flips. But really, I think Dallas is gone.
Okay. So you're on the same page. You think Dallas is going here, Andy?
I do. And I would be happy with that.
And who's coming back?
LaVita.
Dallas out, LaVita in. We will see 1 week from today. Very excited. Next Friday on the show, no April Fools. Johnny Mack is scheduled to be here with us.
That's going to be a good one. He's a gem.
Some great shows. Andy, as always, you knocked it out of the park today.
Oh, thanks. It's always such a pleasure to be here. I love it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anytime you want to talk about any show you want to talk about, Andy, we're here for you.
Okay. All right.
And of course, Taryn, are you going to be on any of the happy hour shows this week?
Yeah, I think I'm going on Sunday.
Sunday night, Taryn Armstrong will be there. Big Brother happy hour. And they do those Sunday nights, 7:00 Eastern? That's an odd time for Big Brother.
So nice.
It's nice. You like to be done early? You're in the clubhouse early?
I'm early to bed.
Early to bed? So you're not our overnight, late night live feed guy?
Well, I mean, I am sometimes like, you know, when stuff's actually happening.
But if not, you're saying, okay, Alex will stay up till the middle of the night and watch all that stuff.
Yeah, right. Because I get up before they get up and then I catch myself up. I watch all the clips and I read all the summaries and then I'm caught up before they even wake up.
Who's they? The house guests or Alex and Brent?
Oh, all of them.
Okay, you're up first.
I got to meet Alex when I was in New York and he was lovely as well.
Yes. We got a good crew. All right. That's going to do it for us here. Next week, we should be back on track with exit interviews. And I guess potentially we're going to have two, maybe. I guess whoever gets voted out and then whoever gets not back into the house between Kelsey and LaVita, I'm assuming. But again, you never want to assume with Big Brother or reality TV exit interviews. So that's all coming up next Friday. And of course, Happy Hour on Sunday night. and Wednesday night. And we're off to the races here with this Big Brother Canada season. Very, very fun stuff. We had some good Survivor podcasts as well this week. Kim Spradlin, I'm sure, Andy, you're a fan of hers.
She's maybe my all-time fave. I love her so much.
Yeah,
so
good. That is very good. We're also going to have still this week. Stephen Fishback was not on the Know-It-Alls this week, but we're going to catch up with him. He's going to fill in for Josh Wiggler on The Wiggle Room as they did a little bit of a wife swap with their shows here with me. So we'll hear from Stephen still before this next Survivor episode and much, much more. Andy is also enjoying this Survivor season heading into the merge.
It's been great. I'm very excited for them to merge. Yeah,
we've got nothing to complain about. We've got good Big Brother Canada. We've got a good Survivor, even though Amazing Race is on hiatus. It's a decent Amazing Race season, so it's a lot going on.
I think Amazing Race has been kind of boring this season.
Oh, you're not into the social media season?
I have not been loving this season of the Amazing Race, no.
I can't complain.
It's been fine.
Yeah, I like it. But I mean, I know Bernie from, you know, Rooster Teeth, so that might be hindering my objectivism.
Andy, which of these Amazing Race contestants will they put into the Big Brother house this summer?
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like CBS totally is into Tyler and Corey. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if like they kept or they put them on something else.
Yeah, but do Tyler and Corey want to be locked up in the Big Brother house for 100 days?
I don't know. I know that they're both Big Brother fans.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. So what's a hashtag, Taryn? You're always on top of this. What do you got?
Oh no, I'm on top of it when I'm in the chat.
when you're in the chat room. All right. We'll ask the chat room. I know what it should be, but I kind of don't want to have it be on record even more so than being on this podcast.
I do want to say the Jason Somerville voicemail podcast, I really enjoyed as well. That was a really good one.
Jason Somerville is really, he's a great broadcaster himself. Jace BB Can Backdoor. Okay. Or Jealous Jared. Let's go Jealous Jared. That's funny.
Yeah.
That really made me laugh. I felt like didn't want to call more attention to Attractive Muppet. I felt like let's stick with Jealous Jared.
So
okay. All right. So that's going to do it for us. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre pulling all of the questions. We'll be back next week with more BB Can here on Robin's Podcast. Take care, everybody. Bye.